This is episode 162 of IndyCan Radio. Welcome. We're your front row seat on Backstage Pass to Canada's great emerging music. This week, we step into the spotlight. We have author Sue Fitt with a guide to getting noticed. Don't care what business you're in, that's going to help. We've got some brand new music. We do some retrospective stuff of 2009, the year that was, and the first decade of the 21st century. But more new stuff always at IndyCan. So here is Bahamas.
Somebody help me, I can't do it on my own. You break your word long enough, you end up breaking your backbone. I must have been dreaming and dreamt you climbed in my bed. But in the morning I woke up and the whole thing was in my head.
Humor, I feel dizzy, and I want your touch. Let's get tipsy and start a rumor. Feel restless here, I can't sit still. Everybody at this party's got their fingers in the till. I bet their parents are ridiculously loaded. Let's before I'm loaded. The dancers need a dance floor. The swingers gotta swing. Fashionable people doing questionable things. Your boyfriend too. Do you think he'd understand? I can't remember how we ended up out here, but all good things have got to start somewhere. The dancers need a dance floor. The swingers gotta swing. Fashionable people doing questionable things. Fashionable, 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 fashionable. for you.
Did you?
Do the switcheroo. Switch him. Switch him up with me. Leave him in the ditch, and you can hitch a ride for free.
The dancers need a dance floor. The swingers gotta swing. Fashionable people doing questionable things. Looking just like magazines. Fashionable, fashionable, fashionable people.
That's what I'm talking about.
This is Sarah French, and you're listening to IndyCan Radio.
Now, you know, I do kind of, not an anti-Christmas show, but I kind of give people who are a little tired of the 4 months of Christmas a break. But a lot of people do send me Christmas music, but you say this is a not-so-Christmas song. Tell me about it.
Well, it's called A Christmas Wish at the End of the Bar, and it's about a lonely guy and a lonely girl hooking up at a bar over wine, perhaps some champagne, a couple of shooters maybe.
And tell me about the artist.
It's a band called The Vanishers out of Burlington, and Ginger St. James,
yeah,
who was a big hit on the burlesque circuit in Hamilton as well as in Toronto, and she is one of a kind indeed.
Well, let's do it.
Okay.
From Anvil, and you're listening to Indie Can Radio.
Press my fingers inside your skin. Trace the lines. lines, lines that time to time, the time dug in, kept on tracing, tracing, tracing. Traced and traced until you were a girl of 13 years again, before my grandpa's calloused hands trade our eyes for rocks and sand. The times that stuck inside our skulls just sort of feverly clinging, the times that stick when times aren't sticking. Thousand pages in the wind, 10,000 pages in the wind. Lay my body on the body, my hands inside your hands, press my lips and kissed until I was 13 again, pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed. Fill up my brains with soil and rock, something to hold. Cattle herds and meteors and light showers and soil and rock. Time's a ticking. Time's a ticking. Time's a ticking.
That was a long set and a good set, and what we just heard is called Post Data. It's coming out January 2010, and it's from the Brothers Murphy of Wintersleep. Oh, what a great decade it's going to be if it's going to start on this kind of note. And this is a really cool project, and I can't wait till you have a chance to check it out and let me know what you think of it. Before that, we heard from Sarah French, publicist in Toronto. Saw her at an event at Hugh's Room, and she pitched me this song we heard from Ginger St. James from Hamilton. And, well, from Hamilton, Burlington, Toronto. Must be good friends with the Vanishers. We featured them on IndieCan before, and this is a little ditty they did together. Hope you liked it. We heard from Anvil. Now, Anvil was part of Canadian Music Week in 2009 as part of our review of this year. I mean, it's hard not to just get all excited about the whole decade, but some significant things happened in 2009, and Anvil was recognized. They had a movie out that I think everyone should see. It's funny, it's hysterical. It's like Wayne's World, only real. Joel Plaskett, his name is always wherever great Canadian songwriting is being discussed because it belongs there. And it's been a great decade for us because of Joel Plaskett. And that was something that was part of the 2007 nomination project for the Polaris Music Prize. And we started off with Bahamas, who will be doing Hillside Inside, which is a great way to kick off the 2010 year in February in Guelph. I'll be there, and I know a lot of people will be there. As a matter of fact, the first ever Hillside Inside, Wintersleep played there. So that's what ties this little segment of music together. On deck, we're going to be listening to Sue Fitt. She's an author. She used to be a musical artist. She helps people run their businesses and get noticed. How do you stand out from the crowd? And she has a book about that. I'm going to repeat myself here, but I think everybody who's interested in the music business or in the music business should read a book a month devoted to business. Good idea. Maybe read a book a month devoted to music. Also a good idea. A lot of people are winging it out there. And if you want to stand out from the crowd, be better prepared. Anyway, I'm not going to steal her thunder. She's got a lot of it. and this is going to be the first of a two-part interview because we had a much longer talk than I had warned her we would have. And so I'm going to give you some of it now and some of it at a later date. So on deck, Sue Fitt. But first, another multi-nominee for Polaris Music Prize and many others, Chad Van Galen. He's a favorite amongst a lot of artists. He's a favorite amongst a lot of indie fans. This was also from the 2007 Polaris Music Prize nomination package. Chad Van Galen.
Author of Step Into the Spotlight, because all business is show business, and we're listening to IndieCan Radio.
Safit, you wrote a book that not only every musical artist should read, but I think anybody that runs any kind of a business should read, and that's really what you were thinking of, taking what you learned in your experience in entertainment and offering it up to entrepreneurs. Is that right?
That's exactly right. If I can backtrack a little
Please.
Bit, actually, my story is that I was I wanted to be a star since I was a kid. Since I was 5 years old, I would sing for all the neighborhood kids on the deck. But my parents were practical and wanted me to be something, you know, like a doctor, lawyer, accountant, something like that, or marry one. So worst comes to worst, an accountant. So anyway, I ended up becoming a lawyer and, you know, wanted to be the next Perry Mason and did that. But then one day I just sort of, you know, woke up and had that Peggy Lee moment, you know, that is that all there is moment. And I'd been a lawyer for about 10 years, and I thought, you know what, I really do want to follow my dream of being a performer, a singer, an actress. Ended up doing stand-up comedy, both live and on national TV, and I did a lot of stuff to promote myself as a singer and an actress. My music CD came out about 10 years ago, and I promoted it a lot. It got a lot of publicity, and so business people came to me and started asking me, how'd you do that? How'd you get the publicity? So I started coaching them on how to get noticed and how to follow their dreams, you know, if they were an accountant and wanted to, you know, sail a yacht around the world or whatever. So I started coaching them. And then I started going to business networking events to promote my now coaching business. And everybody said, well, I've been coming here for 5 years and I haven't got any clients. How come you're getting clients in 30 seconds? So the next thing you know, I'm teaching them how to, you know, do the blah, blah, blah that they do at those events without being so boring. And, yeah, I ended up teaching a three-hour course on that 30 seconds for the Learning Annex.
Well, you can tell the book's written by someone who's talking from firsthand experience as opposed to preaching from the pulpit.
Not to say that there isn't preaching, because there's lots of preaching. Just no pulpit, you're right.
Now, I think everybody, especially in the music business, should read a book a month because you need to have every possible advantage to make it in this very difficult business environment. And people, you know, like I always ask artists to ask themselves, do you have an expensive hobby or are you in the music business? Or,
exactly.
Or where do you imagine yourself being, because, you know, it's more than, they spend so much time writing clever songs, and then you ask them to tell their story, and they haven't rehearsed it.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and I didn't really get it at the beginning either when I, you know, with the music, because I was working on my, you know, my music, and the sound, and the mastering, and all that stuff, right? And I didn't really think that much about the marketing. The thing is that you are kind of naked out there, you know, when you're, you know, you're a singer-songwriter or whatever it is, and you get critiqued, and it's your art, and then you think, well, I can't just, like, sell it. It's not a product. This is my art, you know. But to the customer, it is a product, and it's sitting there with, you know, 70,000 other products in the music store, and you've got to have a way of it jumping out at people, so you really do need to think about things like branding and marketing and what's your persona in the marketplace and how are you positioning yourself and all the kinds of things that business people think of when they are marketing a product. Your music is a it is an art as well.
Yes.
But it's, you know, if you want anybody to pay for your art, I mean, you don't have to. If you're independently wealthy and you just want to do art for the sake of doing art, that would be wonderful if we could all afford to do that. But if you want to try to make some kind of a living at it, or not even that, if you just kind of want the thrill of, you know, getting a royalty on a song that's played on the radio, or thinking that somebody paid you to perform. I mean, it, you know, I was earning decent money as a lawyer, but when I got paid, you know, to sing three songs, you know, a substantial amount of money, I thought, whoa, I could do that. It just never occurred to me that was possible.
Now, in your book, you point out that every business is show business, and no matter what they're doing, I mean, great ideas don't work all the time, just like there are great songs that are written that are never heard, or at least never number one. So great ideas have to be, could we say, sold, not just told, or at least told the right way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the word selling any more than the next person, so I don't really think of it as selling, but I guess you're right. I mean, I think of it as attracting, and you really do need to do everything possible to, you know, because when you say selling, you know, a lot of us think of salesmen, and I'm always telling, you know, my clients, in business I'm telling my clients, because I coach them as well, you're a star, not a salesman.
That's right. That's, I think, your secret from the spotlight number, I hope I got this right, 2 maybe.
Okay, yeah.
You know, it's just sort of stop cold calling,
Stop being a salesperson. Yeah, actually,
just step into the spotlight.
Let me interrupt you for a second, Joe, because maybe your listeners don't know what you're referring to, but those Secrets from the Spotlight, any of your listeners can get that at www.secrets.com. If you go there, you'll get a series of 11 tips on how to stand out and get noticed.
And, I mean, they are a great sort of prequel to your book. Like, if people buy into those ideas, then they're definitely going to get something out of a book. Because there's no point reading a book if you aren't sort of mentally preconditioned to wanting to change the way you're doing things.
Well, if what you're doing is working, you don't need my book.
Yeah, well,
you know,
exactly.
But on the other hand, a lot of very successful, you know, speakers and radio and TV personalities are buying it and reading it because, you know what, no matter how successful you are, there's always one little thing. I mean, you know, some of them, I have clients who are professional speakers. They earn their living doing it. So maybe they pick up the book to figure out how to add some more humor. You know,
exactly.
To what they do, or you know, or how to really, you know, market themselves a little bit more, because, you know, being good at what you do and being known for being good at what you do are two different things.
One of the great points you make is the ineffectiveness of what we might call corporate speak in terms of, you know, boring people to tears. So one of the things you say is many entrepreneurs are corporate refugees. All they know is the corporate model. It's kind of ironic. They choose to leave corporate life to be an entrepreneur, and they fall back on the boring corporate ways that made them escape from corporate life in the first place.
Hi, I'm Sufit. My company specializes in the facilitation of soft skill solutions in a proactive environment. I'm the project manager. We're a one-stop shop for small to medium-sized business, and my company says that we provide excellent customer service and blah, blah. That's what... You know, if you've ever been at 7:30 in the morning to a Chamber of Commerce or some kind of business networking meeting, that's what you hear. And I thought, well, you'd never hear that with musicians, right, because they're artists.
Yeah.
Well, so I go to a room full of musicians, and they do the music version of that. Yeah, well, my music's kind of a combination between a little bit of Elton, a little bit of, you know, same thing.
Yeah, exactly. It sort of makes you glaze over a little
bit.
Yeah,
same thing with coaches. I mean, they have coach speak. You know, we'll help you break through your barriers and get to the next level. I mean, you know, every profession has something like that. And bottom line, we don't hear that stuff. We filter it out.
Yeah, because we've heard it so much, it just has no more
meaning
anymore. Has
no meaning at all. And in fact, in the book, I give 16 words and phrases that you should just, like, never use, you know, because you can't see them. There's no visual.
Yeah, they are like technology, solutions,
exactly.
Advance. I mean, these are words that don't have, you can't associate a picture with them,
you
right?
You can't associate a picture with them. You can't see anything, you know, deliverables. What the bleep are deliverables, you know?
Well, for instance, you talk about coloring yourself in, and what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean like a child's coloring book, you know. It can either be in black and white, or you can pick up a crayon and color yourself in, because in business, it's all so black and white. And, you know, there was a saying, I think it was David Ogilvy who said, he's a great ad guru, mm-hmm. He said you can't bore people into buying. but people are talking about, you know, effective and, like, this is in the corporate world, but effective and value propositions and, you know, modules and integrated and systems and soft skills and core competencies, and we serve a small to medium-sized business for all your blah, blah. And again, in the music business, you have that as well when they're trying. I mean, actually at that event, I don't know, every event, actually the event where you and I met, but
The Big Schmooze.
Yeah, the Big Schmooze. Let's give Ellen a plug.
Yeah.
The Big Schmooze, Ellen Schwartz puts together a great event. But I heard that too. And you know, at corporate events, it's usually the insurance salesmen who latch on to you and tell you about term insurance. But there was one person there that night who did the same thing. And, you know, they latch on to you and want to explain every facet of whatever project that person is working on, whether it's music or something related to music. Like, who cares? You have to make us care, or you have to make us see it. And the other thing is, leave us wanting more. Like, say a little bit,
mm-hmm.
And then pull us in. Pick up the book, and if you do read the book, guys, shoot me an email and tell me what you thought of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's actually quite approachable, everybody. And again, for anyone listening, you don't have to be in the music business to...
No, it's for any kind of business.
It wasn't even directed at the
business. It's for business, for business, and music business is a business.
Exactly, and for people in the music business, the advantage to them is a lot of the examples you give, they'll
relate to. Are from the music, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was great to meet you. Thanks for sharing some of your ideas, and I hope we can make this maybe an annual event.
My pleasure, Joe. Absolutely.
Okay, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Bye now.
Bye.
This is Ross from Toronto Blues at www.torontorockandbluescruise.com with Indie Can Radio.
Sorry if I fucked it up again tonight. Actually, I can work with that.
Okay.
Something just came all over me. The blood. Thank you.
Sufit, was she cool? Wow. There's a book on the IndyCan recommended reading list. And you can link to it from IndyCan.com. Just check out episode 162 and we'll take you there. We just had a little Montreal shindig there. This was My People Sleep, a Montreal band, part of Pop Montreal, and a band from Brooklyn, Golden Triangle, who was at Pop Montreal in 2009 and is going to be part of South by Southwest in 2010. Let's carry on in a Montreal fashion. I loved Pop Montreal in 2009. We're going to hear from Miracle Fortress. We didn't hear Miracle Fortress at Pop Montreal 2009, but we did see some of the members of Miracle Fortress playing with another band. If you look through the photo gallery for Pop Montreal, I won't tell you the whole story. You have to go look yourself. And then maybe another out-of-towner.
Thank you.
part of Pop Montreal, absolutely fabulous. So we looked at a little of the Polaris Prize activities of, I mean, they've only been around not for all of decade one of the 21st century, but they were, you know, I think did a lot of good things for music. They have a $20,000 prize, which I think is kind of embarrassing, frankly, and it would be nice to see, I don't know, more sponsors or something, because, I mean, that's not gas money for a Canadian band. And to be the best album of the year and, you know, I mean, Ottawa, I mean, they're, you know, a terrestrial radio station, but the big money shot pays out over 10 times that to one band and $25,000 to nine other bands. So the whole idea of the Polaris Prize, it's based strictly on artistic merit. Not that these other contests aren't. It creates a lot of buzz amongst writers, so writers are talking about these artists, and so it probably creates more record sales and all that sort of thing. But still, I think we need a bigger prize pot for decade two of the 21st century. You got that, Steve Jordan? Find more money. We heard from the Vanishers earlier with their little Christmas ditty, and here's some more of them.
It's 4 a.m. and the phone is ringing and you don't One city sleeps, though light never sees, astonishingly through clouds and over trees. One city fades for attendance through turbulent stages. One city unchained, one city hears its children they fear. Baby shed tears flow from their first years. One city gone from eyes that once shone. A love has been known. One city alone. Ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah. Ooh, 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 ooh. Let's go where I was. These people's lives cut with that knife. But who is to blame? Oh, one city in flames. It's stone upon stone. Shots by this control. The buildings will break. But they will find their escape from bombs that sway. Forgive, not forget the fingers that blame. One city.
Needed a little Vancouver. That is from episode 92, Hey Ocean, who was live at IndyCan. You can hear all three songs they performed live off the floor and the interview they had with us by checking IndyCan.com's archives. We're going out with Hannah Spears. I just got this CD late in 2009. I think this artist has a lot of legs. This is the title track to her EP, The View. See you next week.
She was in there on her own. step forward, pulling her back to. Is anybody out there? A fraction of a dream. Pieces of the old days scream to be redeemed. The presence she conveys. Can't resemble anywhere else. Didn't reflect what she longed for, and she didn't know what she.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit IndieCan.com.